Matthew chapter 16, we'll be reading verses 13 to 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Will you pray with me? Father, be with us this morning, Lord, as we approach this passage. Lord, let us lay aside our preconceived notions and our ideas of the way things ought to be, and accept the way you made things, Lord. Help us to take your word for the literal truth it holds for us, and that the only hope we have in this world is redemption by the blood of our Savior, Lord, and the guidance in our life of this Holy Scripture. Forgive us for our sins, dear Father, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, we've dealt with this passage for two past weeks in a series about the church. We dealt with the promise of a church, the foundation of a church. Today, we're going to talk about what is the substance of the church. Now, we know the church is the called out body of believers, but what is the substance of our belief? What is the that we get a hold of in church? What makes us a church? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Next week we'll talk about the commission of the church, and we'll finish up this series in a sermon called "The Promise to the Church." But let's look at where we're at this morning. We've got a review for just a minute. Jesus made a promise that he would build a church. A promise that he would call together an unassembled assembly, put them into local areas, and call them the church. And the church is what we set in here today. If Brother Mike, if we go to Nevada there, to the town he's in, he is the church there in that town. The church is the local assembly of believers that come together for the spreading of God's word, to the edification of those who know the Lord, and for a feeling of sense of family and fellowship. That's what we come together for. Christ promised to the disciples at this point, "I'm going to build that. That's what I'm going to bring to you in the future." He made a statement then, the last week we talked about the foundation of the church, where Christ made a promise that "I'm going to build a church on myself. I'm going to be the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. I'm going to be the foundation of the church, and the walls are going to go up on that church, and this church will be so powerful that even death itself cannot prevail against it." The writer of Hebrews told us that death was the tool of Satan, the enemy of mankind, and Christ destroyed that fear of death. He took away that fear. Think about it. You and I have this indwelling Holy Spirit, and the conviction and assurance of the Holy Spirit, when we're in fellowship with God, is telling us, "You have peace. Everything is good." As long as we're walking after the Lord. Those Old Testament saints, they didn't have that indwelling spirit. They knew about heaven. They knew about what was to come, but they didn't have that daily assurance we did. And Christ came and took that fear of death away. So whether we have no reason to fear death anymore, there's nothing in death that has any claim on us. Dying's a little spooky, but death itself is nothing to be afraid of. And Christ says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Those, nothing in the power of Satan or the other world, not even death itself, can stop my church once I build it. Nothing can hold that church back. That's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to talk about that great proclamation that Peter made to Jesus that day. He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the substance of the church. You know, I believe this. We got to take a moment and say, why did Christ ask him that? He says, "Who do people say that I am?" They said, "Some say you're Jeremiah and some Isaiah." And Christ says, "Who do you think I am? Who do you say I am?" Peter made the proclamation. Why did Jesus ask him the question in the first place? Does Jesus not know everything? Didn't he know what they thought and they felt before he asked it? Did he not already know what the world was going to say? Didn't Jesus know these things before he even came to earth? He had the answers to all these questions, but he chose to ask these men, "Who do you say that I am?" See, he had to bring that thought they had. They spent a couple of years now studying with him, watching him heal people, watching him perform miraculous things throughout this small country. They saw it over and over and over again. And he says, "Who do you think I am now that you've seen me do these things?" And Peter made the proclamation. Christ needed to bring Peter's thought to a confession. He needed to bring that confession to the world that the substance of the church is made on, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what you and I hold on to, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. To acknowledge that Christ is God. And that's what he asked Peter. What do you think, Peter? Today, after being with me, what do you think of me? It amazes me to watch our Lord here on earth and how he took people and situations and brought such great truths out into evidence. That day, the substance of the church was proclaimed to the world. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we hold on to. That's what we must know. And you know what the beauty of it is? And I'm going to summarize this passage and we're going to look at detail. He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. That will be Peter. These things have not been revealed unto you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven." And what does that tell us? Well, he says, Peter, blessed are you, son of Jonah. Or Jonah means dove. In other words, he says, Peter, what does it feel like to be a dove? And you're going to walk out in the world as a rock. You're going to be solid. You're not the rock of my church. You're the rock of the spreading of the word of my church. On that day of Pentecost, Peter preached that first sermon, 3,000 souls saved. He took the word to the Gentiles, Cornelius' household. But Christ was the rock. But that day he made a proclamation. Blessed are you, Peter, because no man told you this. No man convinced you of this. Shouldn't that, you know, I read this passage and I think, how can a preacher not be humble when they read that? Not by flesh and blood. See, Christianity is not a religion of understanding, folks. It's a religion of revelation. Every one of you here today who knows Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, had it revealed to you by God Almighty. Amen. Every one of you. Amen. How special are you? How wonderful it is to know that man didn't convince me of anything. God told me. God told me. What did you know, if we could get a hold of this passage, I just know in my heart, if we could truly dig to the depths of this proclamation and understand how special we are to being given that gift from God, the revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. If we could get a hold of that, the churches would be packed, and not just on Sunday mornings. They'd be packed on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. The tithe box would be full. Everything we did in the church, we'd be so grateful to God. Amen. We would rejoice in our worship and our attendance and our prayers and our attitude. We would tell God, thank you. Thank you. You know, the joy. Think about what this is. I look at every one of you out here that's a Christian. Think about how special you are. That as an individual, God talked to you and revealed to you. Mentor told me of his conversion up in the mountains at a ranch. And how they dipped him in a horse trough. And God revealed to him in the middle of nowhere. Says, I have sent my son for you, Mentor. Patricia, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when she came forward, she had talked to me. She says, you know, Pastor, I've been going to church here for about a year, and I've watched and all. And she says, you know something? I know he's real. It wasn't because of us. It's because God said, Patricia, I love you. And I sent myself. How can we not be grateful for that? How can we keep stepping back into our old sinful lives and ignoring God when we realize that on a personal level, on a personal level, he spoke to us. There's no cooperative salvation or corporal salvation. He doesn't look down a church bill and say, whap, you're all saved. He picks one at a time. You know, God put into play when he built this church a system that I don't understand. We have a bunch of sinners, you, come into a building and listen to a sinner, me. And somehow truth comes out of all of that. Now, I don't understand it. I can't understand it. Because you see, it's not what I reveal to God. It's what God has revealed to me. I stand before you today with no special powers. I can't forgive your sins. I can't bring blessings in your life. All I can do is read a word. All I can do is teach you the gospel and let God say to you, my Jesus, my son came and died for you. You notice Peter made it in his proclamation. He said, thou art the Christ. He didn't just say that Christ. He says the Christ. The Christ, the term Christ is anointed one or our Messiah, and the term's interchangeable. Peter made it plain. You're the only one. You are the Christ. The one we've heard about in our people for hundreds of years, we've heard of your coming. And I didn't know it was you until you asked me. I didn't understand the truth, and I don't even think at this point Peter understood it all. But he understood the start. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living. Do you think Peter did not remember this that day when he stood and denied Christ three times? The Bible says Peter wept bitterly after denying Christ. You think it didn't bring to mind, my God, I have denied and betrayed. I have handed over the Son of the Living God. I have not stood by his side and been faithful what he gave me. Do you think it didn't break Peter's heart that day? Do you not think that's what brought the tears to his eyes that made him weep bitterly? Yeah, folks, I don't understand us sometimes. I don't understand myself. I don't even try to understand you. I don't know why when I sin, I don't weep bitterly. I don't know why it doesn't break my heart. I mean, I'm remorseful. I feel bad. But then I go to a passage like this and I think, wow. He took the time to tell me. He took the time to forgive me. He took the time to offer me eternal life. He took the time before the foundations of the world, before I was born, before time, he took the time to pick me and say, I'm going to save him because he will accept my son. He loved me so much. And that's what's going on that day. The whole substance of what Christ was going to build here in the world, this church, is that knowledge, that understanding. See, you and I spend a great deal of time in knowledge, but sometimes we get afraid of conviction, don't we? You ever been really afraid of something you knew was just going to take you and hold you and grab you and control your whole life? It's scary. Think about the day you either proposed or accepted a proposal. Think about what was in your heart. Oh, you were all smiles and there was rosy cheeks and a gleam in your eye. But deep in your heart, wasn't there a little fear there? This relationship is going to take me and control me. Some of you women did well. Some of you didn't do so well. When you said, I do. Fear, folks, is what keeps us from being what God wants us to be. You ever had anything grab you and just put terror in your heart? Just let me tell you what happened to me this week. Scared me to death. My wife got this book called The Clean, Healthy Diet. I meditated on that and I thought, well, it just means you got to wash your hands before you eat that 12-ounce ribeye and mushroom. So I was okay. Then I saw the other book that came with it. It's the Clean Healthy Diet Cookbook. You know what life's going to be like around my house for a while. So if about 5 in the afternoon I give you a call and say, what are you doing and what are you having for supper, you'll understand why. The clean health. But fear is a horrible thing, isn't it? In the service, I knew men who had no fear of dying. They would run into the bullets, no fear in them. But if a snake crossed the path out in the middle of the bushes, they would be terrified. Fear is a funny thing. All of us experience it a different way. We're all afraid of that total commitment that Christ asked for. See that day, what he did with Peter was saying, Peter, now you've admitted you know it in front of all these people. There's no excuse not to do it. There's no reason that with the joy that Christ put in our heart, with that proclamation, with that revelation, with that statement, with his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that you and I need fear of letting go and serve him. There's no reason to be afraid of it. He will not let you down. Folks, if this man Jesus could come out of a grave, is there anything in your life that's bigger than that? No. Put it in perspective. Kit Carson saying, Your electric bill's behind. So what? God bursts forth from the tomb. Jesus Christ can beat anything. So what, folks, if your life's a shambles? So what if you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? You serve the Son of the living God. There's nothing bigger than Him. Amen. Nothing. How do you get a hold of it? You let go. You let go. And that's hard to do. So, so hard to do. We're a stubborn people. You know that? We're obstinate. Well, y'all are. You're a stubborn people. You're bullheaded and obstinate. Once you become a preacher, that goes away, right, brother? Absolutely. Then you're filled with knowledge and wisdom. There's no reason to be stubborn. We don't want to surrender. Jesus put Peter on the spot, and I'm going to give you a little piece of information, you Christians. He's going to put you on the spot. There's a day He's going to say to you, "Who am I?" Now you can say, "You're the Lord of my salvation," and stop there. Or you can say, "You're the Lord of my life. You control my being. You lead me on those paths of righteousness. You take me to the still water and the green grass." What do we say? We say, "Lord, thank you. I love you." You know, it breaks my heart because I watch some of you at times with broken hearts, and we talk, and I look into your eyes. Sometimes on Sundays I go through the church and I see such pain. And it hurts because I love you. But the answer to that pain is to understand it's temporary. See, if I serve the living God, He was from eternity to eternity. What I experience in life is that much. It's so little. Such a drop in the bucket. And that doesn't help. I know you're sitting there thinking, some of you are sitting there thinking, "Preacher, that don't help me a bit today. I hurt. I feel bad. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to solve this mess in my life. I don't know what to do, Pastor." Let me tell you. Shut up and listen to God. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." And He'll bring to you a peace beyond human understanding. Philippians 4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Because if you do, it says a peace will come on you that passes all human understanding. I can't even describe to you the peace. You had it when you were saved. You had it the day Christ came into your life, that you had that revelation from God and He said, "That's my Son." You had the peace that day. Now, it may have slipped away from you in increments when things got tough, but you can always fall back to it. Husbands, your wives are not always going to treat you the way you want them to. That's a promise. I've got the only wife that does that. Wives, your husbands are not going to always treat you the way you want to be treated. It's not the way it happens. The way it happens is that Almighty God, we give our homes to Him. And God runs the home, not the husband or wife. God runs that home. And He gives that man instruction spiritual, and that man's that spiritual leader, and hopefully he don't fall on his face. And ladies, I give you permission, you Christian women, if your Christian husband falls on his face, kick him while he's down. Kick him hard. Make him get back up. Don't let him lay down on the job. Tell him, say, "Me and my children depend on you. We count on you because God said you were going to do it, and you promised God when you accepted Him you would do it." Make him get up. Oh, you ladies, you're so much to keep us men straight. But what straightens out mankind is that revelation. Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the power behind my salvation. Thou art the hope of my life. Thou art the promise of my eternity. You're my protector. You're my financier. You're my confidant, God. You're all these things to me. If He says today, "Who do you say that I am?" what would you answer Him? Would you say all those things, or would you say, "You're somebody I visit once in a while, Lord, when I remember to get my Bible out and read it"? On Wednesday nights when the church is gathered to pray, Lord, I really want to go, but I'm tired. There's too much going on. I'm busy. Lord, I know you understand. You know, folks, he does understand. He understands all things. He doesn't approve of all things, but he understands all things. Or do we say to him, Lord, you know, I went to church twice last month. What more do you want? Father, I even prayed with my family one time before dinner last week. Father, we were in a restaurant and there was a whole bunch of people around us, and I prayed there in front of all those people, Lord. And he said, yeah, it's because your child reminded you to. Or do we say, Lord, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, so I serve you in all things. What answer do you give him with your life? Are you surrendered? Are you willing to stand up and make the proclamation, knowing that you're going to fall? Just Peter fell flat on his face, folks. He denied Christ three times. I can't think of anything worse a person can do, but I do it every day. And Christ loved him. See, Christ looked past Peter's mistakes and saw the preacher Peter would be. It's very hard to get straight answers. You know, we have this thing, we don't. There's this thing in our country now called two programs that goes on in some churches. One called a church growth program, and one called is seeker-friendly programs. And some of these churches have become huge using these programs. And if they could just understand the program is thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I can't let you walk in the door and try to give you what you want. That's not my job. Amen. My job is to make sure you understand, yes, sir, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. You know what the formula for church growth is? Active church members. Amen. That's when we spread the word. Yes, Bob talked about a while ago the hours a preacher works. Folks, it's great. I get big money and work short hours. The burden's on you. See, my job is to train you in how to go out and tell them. I wish we could get a hold of this statement today. I wish we could get it down deep. I wish we could be conscious of what it means. See, believing Jesus came don't mean anything. It really doesn't. Because what we see as believe is accepting something as a fact based on circumstances. Believing Christ was the Son of God is to rely upon that knowledge. It's to depend upon that for all eternity. There's no hope but hell if we don't depend upon that. That day, these 12 men stood there, and old Judas is back in the corner. Evil is lurking in every holy assembly. You know that? Satan is here this morning, you know. Big deal. He that is in me is greater than he is in the world. But that day, my Lord could see his death. He could feel his pain. And he took a moment. Just a moment to say to Peter, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am, Peter? And Peter gave that reply that would resonate down through time. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because Christ, no matter how hard his tomorrow would be, he loved his children for that day. That promise he was making, as it all came together, that promise he had made, you know, Peter, you little son of a dove, I'm going to make you a man of stone that'll go out and proclaim my word. Did Peter get it right? No. Many things we see in Scripture tells us Peter was somewhat of a bigot. He didn't really like Gentiles. God, in his sense of humor, made Peter go talk to Cornelius. I think it's beautiful. A lot of people you don't like. You know that? A lot of people that you think are a little beneath you, or that you think you go to the Smith's parking lot, and you see some old boy with a sign, and he's dirty and stinky and long beard, and you say, you know, I'm not going to talk to him. God help you. And God talked to you. Amen. God took the time, no matter how dirty you were. Right. For by grace are you saved. Yes, sir. through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, lest what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. I've talked to you about this before. If our salvation was based on our work, we would spend all day arguing about who did the most of this week. I prayed all 7 days. If you didn't, you're going to hell. I read 5 chapters of the Bible this morning. Who's done that? You heathen. Our whole lives will be caught up on who did what, but it's not there, folks. God gave it as a gift.
Yes, sir.
And He cherished you so much that He revealed to you as an individual who He was. And this morning, let's get excited about that fact. Let's hold on to the truth of the gospel. I don't know why, over the last 2,000 years, religion has reared its ugly head and destroyed so many churches. People gather together and it's something that has no truth in it. And people come out of there with a smile on their face. And believe me, I want you to leave here this morning with a smile on your face. If God makes you weep, that's between you and Him. But religion has destroyed what Christ established that day, or done its best. It hadn't destroyed it because there's still truth going out in this world. But I've seen Christians falling into the trap. I see men who I believe probably were gifted pastors falling into to a trap that says, say what people want to hear and not what God says to tell them. I see churches built on intellectual stimulation and not conviction of the heart. I see churches that have reached out to the masses and says, we'll provide you what you need to get to heaven. Whole religions that say, depend on us, and we'll get you to heaven. Not religions that say, depend on Jesus Christ. Why have allowed that to happen? My goodness, folks. If you don't believe Satan's alive and well in this world, you're crazy. If you don't believe the end is right around the corner, you're not observant. I talked to the Sunday school class this morning. The first time in my adult life that I'm old enough to vote that I'm not sure what to do. My heart breaks because there's no godly man has been in the process. I hear Christians make a statement that disgusts me, even though I'll say it too. Pick the lesser of the two evils. Christians don't pick evil. We stand for what's right and true. If we don't get the word out, pretty soon Jesus is going to come back. Those of you who are saved going home. What would it be like if we entered heaven and God opened the gates of hell and told us, look. And our friends and family and loved ones and neighbors looked up and said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? True story. Governor of Pennsylvania went to visit the prisons many, many, many years ago. There was a man there on death row. That governor walked from cell to cell talking to the prisoners in death row. Didn't tell them who he was. After he left, a young man asked the guard. He says, who was that? He says, that's the governor. And the kid cried out, why didn't you tell me? I could have begged for my life. If we'll tell those that are the prisoners of Satan, they can beg God for their life.
Amen.
And He will tell them. I'm going to ask you this morning just to realize the substance of what we call the church is that proclamation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the substance of what we are, what we do, and it should control our lives. For those of you who are in tough times, right, you know what? My heart breaks for you. And hold on to the fact, if death cannot prevail against the church, nothing can prevail against Christ's children. Nothing. God will take care of you. He will deliver you from everything. And hold on to that this morning. If this morning you know in your heart that you're not living by that proclamation, I'm going to challenge you to come down here, get on your knees this morning, say, God, forgive me. If this morning, if there's one person in here that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, I'm going to ask you to just do one thing. I'm not going to try to impose my belief system on you or beat you up. I ask you to do one thing. I ask you that if inside of you, you feel something you've never felt before. If inside of you, there's a fluttering of your heart. There's a feeling of, gosh, I wish this guy had shut up so I can get out of here. If you're wanting to run, then I challenge you this morning. Take my hand and pray with me. That peace is yours. It's available. It's free. Wasn't just Peter's. It belongs to everyone who wants it. What number, Brian? Please stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then we'll have a hymn of invitation. If you need to recommit this morning, please, please come down here, get on your knees, and say, God, I want to carry that proclamation forth. If this morning you don't know Jesus Christ, then I'm going to stand at the back of the church, and you come and take my hand. Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, this morning we thank you foremost for your Son. We thank you for this living word, Lord, that without that, I don't know how, Father, that the truth could go out. I ask forgiveness for when we slip as Christians and we don't tell the truth or live the truth, Lord. I just pray this morning you touch our hearts. Forgive us of our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.